You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
This is Ken Vellante with the Something Rather Than Nothing podcast, and I have Eleanor Wells, director, podcaster, writer, other things, many other things. Eleanor, I just wanted to thank you for coming on to Something Rather Than Nothing.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and I know we're reaching you from Wisconsin, a place I love, and I'm very interested in your projects and the things that you do. But first of all, I was wondering about a big conceptual question or origin story is, were you an artist when you were born?
I'm sure. I don't know about when I was born, but I know some of my first memories when I was very young, you know, about 4 years old. I always loved stories, you know, watching movies with my mom and my brother. I was very creative. So this one family used to babysit me, and we would play dress up, and I would watch, you know, Disney movies. And then when I was very young, I started writing my own stories. So I would say it's been in me for as long as I can remember.
Yeah. And I'm going to pick up on, you know, you saying stories. I mean, I love, one of the things I love in my podcast is that we end up just talking about stories a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's philosophy and art, mm-hmm. you know, but it ends up being about stories. And you mentioned watching film. I'm a film lover. You make film, you write film. What were you watching when you were younger that was like kind of sunk into your brain?
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot, but probably the biggest influence on me was Disney. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I know I'm not that old, but, you know, it was the 90s Disney movies of the Disney Renaissance, and then it was the original films that were made during Walt Disney's lifetime. And I remember, gosh, I want to say it was watching Peter Pan, and when they're all flying to Neverland. And I remember having the thought that I want to do that. And yeah. And of course there were other things too. I think of all things, Pokemon was a huge influence on me, that original show. And then when I was a little bit older, maybe 6 or 7, I started getting into the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies and the original X-Men movies. And I just sort of built on the pop culture that I consumed as I got older.
Yeah. We'll get into different aspects of the things you do, and mm-hmm. Certainly with filmmaking. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that kind of connects us, and like how I think we end up talking, besides me being very interested in your thoughts about art, is I had Paige Henderson and Nicole Murray on the mm-hmm. podcast before, yes. As well, who are wonderful actresses.
Yes.
And in the film Eagle Rock, I'll tell you, I'm like, I really like their work, and mm-hmm. then I encountered your work, and mm-hmm. I love the story that's in Eagle Rock. Mm-hmm. And so I've been very interested in your project through contacting them and seeing mm-hmm. all that. So can you tell us about your filmmaking, just as far as with working on Eagle Rock and that story?
Sure. So that my journey with Eagle Rock started about 4 years ago at this point. So this is 2017, and a series of events led me to become very interested in cults, and particularly in the Manson family. And I wanted to understand what would cause somebody to become a part of a group like that. Because, like, I think many other people, I was like, oh, how can anybody fall for that kind of thing? And then the more I read, the more it made sense. And then I had this idea of the first girl, what that experience would have been like for her. Like, how do we recognize a cult as a cult, you know, before it's had a lot of the imagery or just the the things that we associate with it. And that's really where my journey with Eagle Rock began. And then I realized I had a lot more story to tell. So, you know, we did the short, I wrote a feature, and then I wrote two sequels to it too. So it's, at this point, it's a 3-chapter overarching story about three generations in this one family and how the actions of a cult in 1971 still, you know, reverberate 25 years later in 1986. And then, 25 years after that, so in the present day of 2021. And those, every part of that story is really informed by the research that I did. And I just kept realizing that there was more story to tell and more story to tell. But I'm pretty happy with it as a trilogy now. And right now people have only seen a short film. But I hope it can be really a conversation starter. And people can, you know, watch my work. And this is true of Eagle Rock and also everything I want to do in the future. My goal is for really to people to watch what I create. And they go out to a bar, to a restaurant, or, you know, sit around a fire with their friends and say, well, what did you think about that? And maybe they have different opinions about what, you know, a character's motivation was or what the meaning of a certain scene was. But have them there and have them talking about it and recognizing these patterns in their own lives, or even if it's not them, if it's people that they know. So that's really my goal.
It's and I appreciate you saying that. And for me in response to that, it's like super timely, because the first time in my life, I'm like, or maybe a lot of Americans, it's like this right now, but to actively interact with cult members, like I'm having conversations that are supposed to be, I don't know how to describe it, like regular conversing conversations. And all of a sudden I'm talking with somebody, I don't know, when something become a cult, well, it's in the territory that you're talking about. It's somewhere percolating in there when it becomes it. So I think interrogating, like, this is philosophy, right? Like interrogating truth, or like, what is the story that you believe in, is like right now, that conversation is it's deeply important to have that conversation. So, all right. So Eleanor, you create film, you've done podcast, you're interested in art, you create art. What is art?
Oh gosh. Art is, to me, I would say it's a reflection of how we view ourselves. And it's something that is immortalized, or that we immortalize a bit of ourselves in our time period that we live in. Because to quote Perks of Being a Wallflower, like, this moment will be another story someday. Like, right now we're living in the present, but 50 years from now, this is going to be a time, or 50 years from now, I should say, even, you know, 100, 200 years from now, this will be a time that people study, and they'll listen to our music, and they'll watch our films, our TV, they'll read our books, our news, and they'll try to understand a little bit about us. And art is really something that I think it's a piece of ourselves that lasts forever. And it, through art, we can explore how humans are the same. Like William Shakespeare lived, you know, 400 years ago, and yet his work, it still speaks to something so truthful about being human. And that's why it, you know, still resonates today, and people still put on his plays. And that's one of the most compelling parts about art for me.
Yeah. I hear it going back to stories, right? Like, what it is that, I don't know, universal is a troublesome term, but just like in a sense where it feels human, the story still. All right. Well, thank you for that. Wow. I ended up thinking about your answer to what is art, and that's part of my difficulty is to continue talking. I have another big question. It's a little bit connected to like kind of where you come from and what influences you. And the question is, who or what made you who you are?
Oh God. I would say that I am a product of just, I don't know if this really answers your question, but just everything that I've experienced in life up until this point. I've had experiences in my life that have shaped me. I can look back to certain moments in my life and think, well, I'm never going to be that the girl that I was before that thing happened. But what I can do is use my experiences in my life and try to be a better person, to be a more informed person, to help other people. You know, oftentimes I think, you know, back to certain, you know, moments in my life and think like, well, what would have happened if I had made a different decision here? And I've realized like, you know, nobody's, well, I mean, it's such a cliche, but it's true because nobody's perfect and you can't change the past, but you can move forward. And I think everything happens for a reason. I don't know if that answers your question.
No. I mean, it gets right at it. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, Eleanor, I was wondering about, when you're doing a period piece and this is what fascinates me about what you do. I often think of like the late 60s or 70s. I was born in 72. So I'm like, I'm at this time where like, that's a before my time, but I'm like deeply interested in the social pieces that were going on there. How have you gone back to look at that period and to feel like you're get, cause I watched Eagle, I love it. Cause there's details that I know you picked up on in your show. And, how do you get that stuff from that time?
Consuming everything I possibly could from that time period, and not just from, you know, the isolated period of 68 to 71, but stuff from the mid-50s when Alex, you know, would have been a child and growing up. And I guess I should say mid to late 50s, early 60s, talking a lot to my grandparents because they were alive in that time, asking them what they remember. But I watched shows, I read books, I watched movies, I looked into the news, just everything that I possibly could, and just really absorbing what it would have been like to be in that time. And I think that is what helped me. And, you know, there were some like modern day period pieces that I watched. You know, Mad Men as a show is just a huge, huge influence on me as a creative person. But even just random, you know, movies that were made in the 60s, because that art was, you know, that was a product of its time. And I think I've been able, even if I haven't been able to put my finger on it exactly, I've been able to gather something from every piece of media that I consumed from that time.
Yeah, something like, it comes down to like something like the vibe, you know.
Yeah.
In audio, a lot of time is like, what's the vibe?
Right.
We talked about, I love your response to what is art. Another question related to that, though, I was wondering is, what do you think the role of art is? And is it different now in our times, 2021, what have you, than it has been?
I think the role of art is for us to understand reality. And I don't know that it's ever been different in human existence. I think that's always been its role. Because, you know, it's funny. So I don't know if we mentioned this when we were emailing. I'm acting right now. So I'm in Our Town, which is a great, great show because it's it was written in 1938, and it's about a memory of 1901 to 1913. And it's so interesting as we're going through rehearsals, like the fact that this is a memory of a past time, but we're also portraying the 30s in 2021, and that it can still be relevant today is, I think, what gets at a lot of your question, because there's some really beautiful monologues in the text about how the purpose of the show is to understand people who lived in the past. And I think that's so, so interesting. And it's one of the reasons I love the show. And I think it gets at a lot of, like I said, a lot of your question about the purpose of art and has it changed. And I would say that it has not.
Yeah. Yeah. Want to just ask a question. Sometimes like in the show, I try to kind of check in with kind of like local art scenes. The show is like international. And so I like try to get a little bit of a vibe, and going into Milwaukee, people always cringe when you mention Milwaukee as like an art town, because yeah. You know, it's there's that Milwaukee image in our head. And I've always found when I lived there and was around there, I found Milwaukee to be a vibrant, art scene for mm-hmm. me. I deeply adore like the music, the metal, but also mm-hmm. you know, the kind of formal arts and things like that. Right. So what's your take on clunky Milwaukee in art?
I think that there are a lot of really talented, really wonderful and passionate people here, and I've noticed that just from doing shows since I've been here, but I think it's something that I've always been aware of.
Yeah. And I know one of the things I've talked about even musically, the differences between Madison folk music and metal that you find in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. One of the additional questions I have, and like a big one, and I'm going to ask you some a couple others. But one of the things that I've started to ask guests is your thoughts on this. There's a, like, it seems like events are moving fast. I don't know, it's like pandemic, social mm-hmm. upheaval and things like that. Mm-hmm. Analogous to the time, you know, that you're depicting in the film, the 60s into 70s. Yeah. One of the questions I've been thinking about is how do you think we derive meaning or understand what's going on when times are like this?
That's a great question. You know, it's funny because I remember when like the lockdowns first started, that was like March 2020, I had previously planned a trip to Colorado to see a part of my family, and shit hit the fan when I was there. So I was already there. And I remember just everybody was really scared because we didn't know what was going on at the time and how things were going to end up. And I didn't know if I was going to go back to my job ever. And I just remember thinking, as I was in the car with my family, and wait, like, even if I never go back to my job, even if this all goes horribly, horribly wrong, I'm with the people that I love and that matter to me. And I think not that work isn't important, not that, you know, all of our social obligations, not that those aren't important, but I really think we derive meaning from not only our passions and what we're good at, but the people around us, the people that we love, the impact that we make on others. And that was just a really, like, almost like an epiphany I had when I was there. Not that I wasn't aware of it before, but I really think the people that we love and, you know, our vocations in life, for some people that can be, you know, their career paths, you know, maybe somebody's a doctor and they're passionate about saving people's lives and they're really good at it. Or maybe somebody else's calling in life is to be a mother and to take care of her children. I mean, it's different for all of us, but it's all valid and it's all important to that person, as long as that's where they really want to be.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you is, you've done some podcast work, Joe, about a girl. And I wanted to ask you about your storytelling through like audio and just using, a podcast for a medium. I listen to those stories, and it's usually about a male artist figure and the women in their relationship and how they were submerged back behind. What I wanted to ask about your storytelling, because I love those stories, and you're a visual storyteller as well with video. When you're going into telling that story with podcasting and the sound and such like that, mm-hmm. do you feel it as a really distinct project or way of telling a story, or is it not as different as I'm thinking?
Well, the medium was definitely distinct, and getting used to the medium, I definitely think, was a challenge, and one that I found very, very rewarding. But at the end of the day, it was a story like any other story that I was telling. And that was just such a wonderful experience, because it was something that I was passionate about. And this could be a story for a whole nother podcast, but I tend to get a little bit frustrated with certain media makers in today's day and age who say the only way for a female character to be strong is if she you know, wields a gun and goes to, you know, fight with the boys or whatever. And that can be great if it's done well, but there's also a lot of validity to being in love and loving someone and something, and that is powerful in its own way.
Yeah.
And I wanted to honor that, and I wanted to honor those women who I feel like haven't really gotten their due. And I was just so, so grateful to Jake Brennan and Brady Sadler of Double Elvis for just giving me a chance and believing in me. And I'm so happy to see that it's, you know, sprung off into a life of its own. And the other person I have to shout out is Scott Janovitz, who did the music and a lot of he did the sound effects and such for it. And just, I'm so, so grateful to those guys for giving me a platform. And that I think a lot of people have resonated with.
Well, it's fantastic work, Eleanor, and distinct works of art. And the subject matter for me is I'm deeply fascinated with, because it's so astounding once you see and go back into the female artists and those who are around, what they were doing and what, what stories, right? Back to the story. What story hasn't been told there? So I want to ask the big question to make sure, like, put it out there and, like, have it out there, which is the why is there something rather than nothing?
Well, to go back to our town for a minute, there's a great monologue at the very end of the show that the stage manager gives, and he or she, in our production we have two. So I guess the stage manager as a character muses about how Earth may be the only place in the universe where there's life. And I don't have any strong feelings either way. My sort of belief on that is I wouldn't be surprised either way, whether that there, you know, Earth was the only place where there was life or Earth wasn't the only place. But I think I don't know if I can give a concrete answer to that question, but what matters is that we are here. And we shouldn't take that for granted, because every life has value. And we all have something to contribute to the world and a legacy to leave behind after we're gone. And I think that's very powerful. I think the answer to your question is that we have to search for our meaning.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that. Yeah, thank you. Oh man, thank you so much. So one of the things I wanted to ask you about, and maybe a quick answer, if you feel so, on those stories in the place of like about a girl and women who are supportive male artists, the industries, how's it feel now? I mean, are those stories abound now, or do you see, like, are times different for, you know, women creators in that situation in a patriarchy? I mean, does it feel different?
I think it does to a degree. I think it's not perfect, but I will say that we've come a long way from, you know, the 60s, where somebody like Jane Asher can be this really wonderful actress with a really solid career, but only be known as Paul McCartney's girlfriend. I think we've come a long way from someone like a Peggy Lipton having to give up her career to be married and have kids at the request of her husband. Obviously, there was a lot more to that story, but that was an aspect of it. And I think one of the reasons it's called About a Girl, not just because the title fits, but as a tribute to Kurt Cobain. And I think a lot of the ways he was very progressive, and you hear him talk about how women and, you know, people of color and other marginalized people are treated. And I'm like, I'm listening to him talk, and this is, you know, 80s, 90s. And he was a really cool dude. And I think things definitely had to change to make way for somebody like him and all the people that have come since. And, you know, obviously we did the episode, which was one of my favorites to do, about Keydata Jones and Tupac Shakur. And that was the most recent one we did in the first season. I guess to answer your question, I think things have changed in a good way, but I don't think the issues have really fully gone away, because sometimes you still hear people, unfortunately, talking about these women, just in terms of how they relate to men. And I wanted to give them a little bit more of their own identity. And I hope my podcast is helpful in that regard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for mentioning that. I was wondering about your film company, which I understand to be named Cinderella Pictures. What's the story behind Cinderella?
Yes. So as I mentioned Disney earlier and Peter Pan, but the other movie that was really influential to me, and I always liked it as a kid, but it's a movie that's grown more and more in importance for me as I've gotten older, is Walt Disney Cinderella. And I love the story and I love the character. And to me, I find, you know, Walt Disney's version to be the definitive telling. But I think a lot of it came from, you know, this narrative that, oh, she just sits around and waits for a prince, which is not what that story is about at all. It's a story about a girl trapped in a bad situation who, by virtue of being a good person, gets the life that she deserves. And I think that there is something very powerful about that. It's certainly something that I have connected to in the past during more challenging times in my daily life, and to how I feel then, to how I feel when I get to be either on a film set, on stage, writing, sharing my art with people. It very much feels like Cinderella. And I remember the first time I was ever on a film set, I got to go be on set that day, and then I had to, because I was still in high school, so I had to go home, get up and go to school the next day. And I remember saying something to the effect of like, oh, I feel like Cinderella at the ball. And I think movies can have that power. And I think not only do I get to live my dream, but I hope that through the work I make, I can make the dreams of lots of other people come true. And of course, I'm very sensitive to what's going on with IATSE right now, and I'm in full support of what they're doing. And it's very important to me as a creator to create a healthy environment on set. Yeah. And I guess the other thing I should add is the feminine aspect of things. I want to tell stories that are, again, diverge in a way from what a lot of mainstream Hollywood tries to say is a strong female character. I want to see more types of women. And I think, you know, men are great. There's lots of good men out there. There's lots of great stories that have been made with male lead characters. And one thing I think a lot of those stories resonate is they're written in a universal way. I love Luke Skywalker. Luke Skywalker is a character that anyone can relate to. It doesn't matter who you are. And I want to be able to create some of that for female lead characters, because that's my experience. And I think in a lot of ways, of course, there's so many aspects of the human experience that are universal. And I think the more that our culture, our society can see that from different lenses, the better off we'll be. And that's part of my goal with the company as well.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. You know, obviously a great name. So I really like you kind of filling in, like, you know, the thinking that is behind that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think with, you know, the talented women mm-hmm. that you work with as well, yeah. Of course, you know, with Paige in the lead of Eagle Rock, mm-hmm. having somebody help you tell those stories and get out that that piece. I mean, it's just, it's noticeable, and it speaks for itself. So, thank you for letting us know more about Cinderella Pictures. All right, so Eleanor, I want you to be able to however you feel like, kind of like let listeners know and be able to connect to like what you're working on or how they can or where to look for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Eagle Rock is available to stream on Amazon with an IndiePix Unlimited subscription. You can get like a free trial, I think, for a week, or you can purchase or rent the film. I think it's like $1 to rent and like $5 to purchase. You can listen to About a Girl wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, on the off chance anyone's in Wisconsin, my show Our Town opens next week. I'm not sure when this is going to air, but it runs October 8th through the 10th and October 15th through the 17th. And follow me on Instagram. I'm at ebrinw and Eagle Rock Movie for news about the film. And I really hope that I can have a fruitful and productive 2022 of making content that is important to me and that matters.
Yeah. Well, it definitely does. And I like, for me as like my receiving it, some of my, areas that I'm interested in the work that you develop. I really enjoy it, and I really appreciate your efforts in doing it. I wanted to ask one question. It's kind mm-hmm. of like a separate little hanging question there too. Is I know you've worked on you know, you've done screenplays and such. Mm-hmm. I haven't asked the question of folks who write in that manner. Mm-hmm. How different is it? As far as creating something, creating a piece that's in that format, a screenplay format, what's that like?
Like different as opposed to like writing a novel?
Yeah, I mean, just like different in a sense of where you're trying to bring in like maybe the sensory aspects and the dialogue and just like the creating that to give that its vibrancy.
I guess just having a really clear vision in my head of what I want the story to be and making sure that that comes across. Like, it's definitely different, you know, in a way. I find novels more challenging than screenplays because you have to paint a complete picture for the audience. And with film, you can just kind of show everything. And when I imagine the stories that I'm writing, it's a very vivid picture. I think of sounds, including music, ambient noise, smells, looks. And I just find it easier sometimes to suggest a lot of that or what the characters are wearing. And then in novels, you just have to be so, so thorough. And in screenplays, you definitely have to be more concise.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for that. I've been trying to, I'm dabbling myself and like, I find like different ways of creating. Like I see my brain trying to adapt to how to get the story out. So like my brain thinks like that. And it's just, I always kind of just think of a different way to depict prior to being, you know, shown.
Absolutely. So. The other thing I forgot to mention is during, I guess, the pandemic, or when we were, you know, locked down and couldn't do anything, I did a couple of stage readings of some of my scripts. So I did The One I Loved, which is the first sequel to Eagle Rock, and then I did The Good Life, which is the second one. And then I also did a stage reading of a pilot that I wrote for an unrelated series that I think is kind of be my next project once I get a couple of these films in the can. So if people could, you know, wanted to take some time to watch them, and there was just some great work, and I had some very talented people involved, and you know, just kind of a fun little way to watch things. And they're on Cinderella Motion Pictures is YouTube channel.
Oh, great!
And subscribe, great. And I'll be putting content up there as well, just in the future.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that. And the thing is, not only are you talented, but the projects I've seen you work on are inhabited by other talented people. So okay. that goes a long way in creating some nice art. Eleanor, it's been so great to meet you and to learn about like your creativity and your thoughts on art and creativity. And I just want to thank you for making the things that you make,
because
I really enjoy them, and for spending the time to like get into your head a little bit and learn about how you do your stuff. So I really wanted to thank you deeply.
Yeah, thanks again for having me. Hope to put more out into the world very soon.
Thanks so much, Eleanor.
This is Something Rather Than Nothing.